watch your foot when I drive. Big pressure, I apply. In the ring, you won't survive. Yeah, I swerve when I drive. Yeah, I swerve when I drive.
Hello, ladies and gentlemen.
Hello.
Yeah, we are live. We're good. There we are.
What's up? Amazing.
What's popping, everybody? So originally, I'm just going to take it over before we get into the names, because you can see kind of below. We are playing pre-show in the background. Please don't take us down, YouTube. I tried to get the match card going. For some reason, the video wouldn't loop. Technology, man. You just got to run with it. You just got to roll with it. We're here. We're doing it live.
Technology, it's midnight, and that's our one plan did not work. So we went with plan B. With like a couple minutes to spare. So
there we are.
We're making it work.
I am independent wrestler, the present Matthew Grand, one half of your HWE Tag Team Champions. And take it away, my beautiful wife.
I am Aaron Grant. I have no monikers. I'm just here.
Ring announcer.
One of the hosts of Collision Catch Up with you.
Yes.
Occasionally do some interviews for SNME Radio. We are just here to run down some results that have just come in from the. You gave a face and then I panicked. I knew it wasn't going well. I knew I was confused.
This is what happens when we record. We kind of just make faces at each other and then we both panic and we're like, ah. But
usually we can get away with it a little better because we do it with no video. But we will be running down the results of Dynasty, the AEW pay-per-view that just finished up. That's what I was kind of trying to say.
Yeah, so top to bottom, a pretty solid show. I'll be honest, there's definitely, in my personal opinion, some questionable decisions that were made in terms of booking. But you know what? At the end of the day, professional wrestling's not everybody's like, how am I going to say this properly without messing up what I was trying to say? Professional wrestling has many different flavors. Some flavors maybe not, but for others. So now. One particular instance, and we'll get to it. It seemed like the entire crowd was vocal against the product. But anyways, we're going to start from top to bottom. We're going to dive into the entire show because, again, what a card from AEW tonight. Dynasty on paper looked like a solid card, and honestly, it delivered.
I was going to say, I feel like everything delivered essentially as much as I expected it to. I don't think there was any matches that I was super stoked for that I then was disappointed in. I only really had one match that I wasn't really particularly excited for. And I think, again, it was exactly what I expected. So without further ado, are we going to be starting by discussing the pre-show that is floating up behind us?
We are. Yes, we will be talking about the pre-show. I just will make a note. If you guys have any comments, anything that you want said, please just let us know. We will gladly pop up some comments on the screen. If you want to let us know your live thoughts, please just let us know. We will pass along a link. I can do that very easily via phone here. So please just let me know. We are happy to have you in here, and we are happy to hear what you guys think of tonight's events. But without further ado, yes, we are going to dive into the pre-show tonight. It was kicking off with Trent Beretta versus Matt Sydal, accompanied by his brother, Mike Sydal, to be noted. But Trent, also to be noted, in full best friends gear, best friends theme jacket, just
and like tag gear, as you mentioned, because he literally had like Orange Cassidy's picture on his knee. Yeah. So we were kind of having that moment at first when he comes up with the jacket of just like, oh, is he going to be like a real jerk right now? Is he just going to rub it in people's faces? And a little bit, but for the most part, I think that was his gear.
Yeah.
That's what he had.
Yeah, it was one of those things where like maybe he didn't get new gear made in time and he just kind of went with it. I'm not entirely sure, but regardless, it was a solid match. It wasn't anything like special, I'll be honest, but
it was a solid pre-show match.
It did exactly what it needed to. It got Trent across, and it gave Matt a nice little home state little moment too. So
I was gonna say, I genuinely like was impressed by Matt Sydal because he's one of those people that kind of floats in and out, and you see him pop up on AEW from time to time, and it was, like I said, it was a good match. Both guys, they did well. Like you said, did what it needed to do.
8 minutes, so nothing too crazy, but
yeah,
did exactly what it needed to do. It got Trent's new essentially dickhead persona across, and
there were some chants for "We want Sue," which is
he's like, of course you do. Of
yeah, you do. Yeah. Like, yeah, yeah, you want my mom, but yeah, I'm sticking by it. you know, at the end, Trent over as he's making his way out. We do hear Orange Cassidy's music hit.
Yeah. Whoa.
Where did we go?
Whoa, we got real dark there. I'm not entirely sure. We got like lights on us and everything, so I'm not entirely sure what just
nothing changed.
There.
I don't know what happened.
All right. This is the fun thing about doing it live, ladies and gentlemen. But yes, we had Chuck Taylor make his way out to make the save for Matt Sydal. And you could kind of see Trent be like, yo, like, you got till Wednesday to figure this out. I apologize, guys. I'm not entirely
sorry. I'm just like leaning around because I'm like, is it because the TV got too bright?
It may be because of that. But yeah, Trent's like, you got till Wednesday to figure stuff out. So,
but yeah, we had Orange Cassidy. Oh, look what you did there. Cool. Orange Cassidy kind of making his way out, just sort of having a little bit of a moment checking out Trent. And then.
Yeah, Shibata.
Shibata's music hits.
And Trent's like, I'm
out. Oh, Trent takes off running. He's like, so, I'm out. Yeah.
Which led us into our second match of the evening, our second pre-show match, which saw Shibata and Orange Cassidy team up to take on Shane Taylor Promotion, Shane Taylor and Lee Moriarty. If you listen to Collision Catch-Up, you know we are big fans of what Shane Taylor and Lee Moriarty bring to the table. And, I mean, Shibata and Orange Cassidy are fantastic as well. So,
yeah. Also, Anthony Ogogo joining on commentary.
I mean, bouncing in and out of commentary.
Kind of interfering a little bit, doing a little bit of his trickery, but nothing.
Taz got hot at one point. He's like why are you on commentary if you're just going to bounce? He got hot and it popped me hard, but yeah.
Why are you here?
Pretty much. Shibata and Orange Cassidy picking up a solid victory. 12 minutes, 40 seconds. So a solid little bout from them as we move on to our final match on the 0 Hour pre-show. We had Bullet Club Gold, the trio of Jay White, Austin Gunn, and Colton Gunn, the current Ring of Honor World Six-Man Tag Team Champions, taking on the AEW World Trios Champions, the acclaimed Daddy Ass, Anthony Bowens, and Max Caster.
This being a unification match for these titles. And in my personal opinion, this match probably should have been on the main show and perhaps swapped out with...
maybe like Jericho and
And that's the only thing is I'm like, I saw a lot of... and I that was a bit my personal opinion as for what I do love both the Bang Bang Gang and the Acclaimed. They were also announced as the Bang Bang Gang, which was a fun little thing that we both noticed.
Yeah, but getting away from the Bullet Club Gold thing, although it did still have Bullet Club
Gold. It said both, but it was the Bang Bang Gang as Justin Roberts announced them. But I don't know, it was a good match. And honestly, I think the reaction the crowd gave to that, and this is also just a little bit of me scrolling Twitter and seeing, getting the live kind of reactions, and it seems like a lot of people kind of had that opinion that maybe those two matches should have swapped because it was a good match.
It's just, to me, it feels very weird that they decided to go the route of having a unification match on 0 Hour. Maybe it was, and I seen Trey Miguel kind of address this on social media the other day, and he had a very unique perspective on it. It's a business perspective, and it's pre-show is meant to sell the show. If somebody's looking at the pre-show and they haven't bought the event yet, and they're seeing these matches on the pre-show, and you see a banger match,
you're more inclined to buy. Yeah. Okay,
so
that's a good point.
And this was the final match of the pre-show as well, so. The way that that was kind of set up was essentially the main event of the pre-show. So,
okay.
With that said, still doesn't change my mind that these guys should have been on the main card, but it does make it, I guess, somewhat better.
It explains the reasoning behind it. And I get that. That's a fair argument for it.
Yeah, solid bout. A lot going on, to say the least. I think before we even get into it, are we going to talk about Max Caster's rap?
I think Max Caster's going to get his wrist slapped again. Like he's back to his rapping, which is great. I've missed it. I absolutely love his rapping. But as he's making his way out, and Bowen's going to take the mic for his usual
you know, everybody loves it.
I was trying really hard to think of the city and I blanked out. I didn't want to say the wrong thing.
St. Louis?
It was St. Louis.
Yeah.
I had it right. I don't trust myself. It's very late. But as he's going to grab the mic, Caster grabs it back, continues his rap, gets more offensive, ends with the idea of the BCC. I almost said BBC again. The BCC tasting his dick and Bowen's grabbing the mic.
BCC?
Yeah, no, that's what it said. I thought at first it was saying that.
You sure you meant Bang Bang Gang, not BCC? Either way, we can't edit this one out.
We didn't edit it out this morning. I'm just having a real hard time with acronyms and
that. Yeah. So fun BCG. Fact.
Club Gold.
Regardless, quick side verb from this whole thing. So she did ring announcing a crossbody yesterday, and anytime we talk about IWF or IWS.
I can't get them straight.
She always gets it mixed up. So, look, like, the acronym thing, I can actually attest for.
I have a very hard time with acronyms. Yeah. And this is not being cute or funny. This is a genuine struggle that I have. And I swear I'm trying really hard to sound like I know what I'm talking about. And I promise I do to a certain extent. I just get my letters mixed up sometimes.
Yes, so getting to the match itself.
I don't remember what my point was. Go on.
That was super fun. Genuinely like a back and forth fun bout that honestly, when we recorded Collision Catch Up last night, because of the guns ended up going up on the Acclaimed, I figured Wrestling Logic 101, figured the Acclaimed would be the ones picking up the victory. That was not what I wanted to see. And I'm very happy that the decision was made to have Jay White and the Guns pick up the victory here. Bang, bang, bang. Bang, bang,
bang, bang,
bang, bang, bang. Wow. Bang, bang, gang. Picking up the victory and unification. Wow. I'm struggling hard here. Unifying championships, the Ring of Honor 6-man tag team titles, as well as the AEW Trios championships. Again, the right decision made. A solid, clean finish as well with Jay White up with the Blade Runner on Daddy S.
Yeah. Yeah. So again, it was definitely a good, to your point you said before, good show seller. Like, that was a genuinely great match. Brought us right into the start of the actual pay-per-view,
like couple minutes.
Yeah. So it really did launch the show well. So
14 minutes and 45 seconds as well. So
good length. Good
solid,
length.
Solid match to end off the 0 hour as we kick it off. The main card, the Continental Championship on the line, Okada and Pac. My first note about this match, Pac's new entrance is fantastic, but the way he just stared at the camera as it shot through the grates.
It like sends a shiver down your spine.
Legit. I thought he was staring into my soul.
He's got such an aura about him. I'm so happy to see Pac back. And he's so good and he's so intense.
Yes.
And I think that's the best word I can use to describe him. So to see him go up against Okada is really, again, someone else who is fairly new to me personally. Mm-hmm. And that's the biggest word I think I can use to describe him is intense. So yeah. I'd like to see these guys go at it to start off a pay-per-view.
I don't know, man. This new side of Okada, though, since joining the Elite, like, just be an absolute shit disturber.
I wasn't sure if we were going to swear, so I was going to say jerk.
I was going to say dickhead. I don't know.
Like, I was fighting saying dickhead.
Yeah, like, it's one of those things where, like, even going for his pose and then throwing up a middle finger instead. It was so good.
So unexpected. Pop the crowd. Also, a lot of middle fingers on this pay-per-view. I think by the third or fourth one that popped up in a match, I had to look at you and be like, wow, they are really liking to flip us off today.
Yeah.
Fair enough.
Regardless, very, very hard hitting. A couple of great falsies too, where I genuinely thought that Pac was going to take the championship out of Okada. However, the theory that I led into, and I honestly, I believe this to be the case. I would not be surprised to see Daniel Garcia to be the guy to take the championship out of Okada. It was kind of subliminally teased on Collision last night. So
He's definitely being built as he's going to be taking a title.
Noticeably absent from the pay-per-view as well.
No, very noticeably absent, but just clearly there is something in the works. There is something. He's being built up and he absolutely deserves it. So I agree. I like the idea of him taking it off of Okada.
Okada, dominant victory, though, for the win and continuing his run as the Continental Champion. 21 minutes and 55 seconds. A solid, solid opener from top to bottom for the pay-per-view there. So, yeah, let's move on to the next bout. The House of Black, Malakai Black, Brody King, Buddy Matthews, taking on Adam Copeland, Eddie Kingston, and Mark Briscoe. Your thoughts?
Genuinely loved it. Not going to lie, Eddie made me laugh a lot in this match. I think his personality came through a lot.
Well, it was just like the dog growls or whatever.
The dog growls, the facial expressions, the sound effects he was making when he was like, yep, just doing some fast beating up. Like, it was just a side of Eddie Kingston I was genuinely really appreciative of. And also, other main thought I have is Mark Briscoe's a badass. He ruled this match for me.
He took some gnarly bumps.
Took and gave. Like, there was Well, he did a flip over the post on outside. Yeah. Into the outside.
Yeah. Onto the outside?
I don't know. but it was...
Yeah, he flipped over the post and did like a tope onto the outside. And I blanking on who he did it on, if I'm being honest.
I want to say Buddy, but I feel like I'm just taking a 1-in-3 shot here. So I really can't properly say. But speaking of Buddy, and just as a whole, other takeaway, absolutely loved the blood dripping gear that House of Black was wearing. Mm-hmm. No secret for me, I love the House of Black. I really enjoy any sort of dark, broody characters. So I really
good timing, by the way.
I know that. We're really like, it's happened a couple times, and I'm like, oh, yay. I love some dark, broody characters. I love some intense storytelling. And for the most part, like, no one does it better than House of Black right now for me.
And the finish, alluding to, again, if you listen to Collision Catch-Up, it's stuff we've been talking about on the show the last couple of weeks. Malakai Black picking up a big victory over Adam Copeland, spraying the mist in the eyes of Adam Copeland and picking up a 1-2-3 over the current TNT champion.
Because there's a couple moments that are starting to pop up of them almost having like a bit of lingering eye contact, a bit of like a...
Well, the first interaction in this whole saga between the two, or the six guys, started with Malakai and Copeland staring each other down, and then it went from there. So I do think that that's kind of what we're seeing built up as a future matchup between the two.
But even like in the match, there's a moment that happened near the beginning when I think Copeland first got in the ring, where I believe it was Brody in the ring, takes him out, runs to the edge to Buddy Matthews, takes him out, runs to Malakai Black, just makes direct eye contact, and Malakai Black just sort of like a step back, and Adam just accepts that. So there's this a weird almost like bond, I fear, / hope happening between the two of them. Because also, he took the mist. And I speak so highly about what the mist has done to Sky Blue. We've seen it affect Willow Nightingale. I don't know if we've seen it in the same way when Malakai gives the mist versus when Julia Hart gives the mist. But I wonder,
interesting,
if they've got a bond and they've now kind of solidified that bond almost like a blood brother sort of thing, because he has now taken the mist.
That's
my current, like, that's my brainwave theory that started mid-show. That was kind of starting this morning when we were recording Collision Catch-Up. And then once I saw the interactions, Andy took the mist, I was like,
So it's interesting now that you say that, because now I just kind of like got a crazy theory in my head. So before Copeland came to WWE, obviously Edge was a member of Judgment Day, which is, a lot of people have compared Judgment Day and House of Black in the past. Is there a potential chance that, yeah, literally, Tom, you literally just said it in our chat here, could Copeland go heel?
I think this might be leading into Copeland going heel, because I'm thinking I'm going way past Judgment Day, and I'm keep looking way in the past with the brood. Mm-hmm. I don't know why it just keeps, because Malachi said something about Hell Within and kind of gave, it was talking to all three, but kind of had a moment of like, you know what I mean, Adam? And you saw Adam Copeland's discomfort. So I think there's like, they're digging into something deep. And like, let's be real, Adam Copeland's on kind of his victory tour. He hasn't given an end time yet, but he knows it's, he knows he's on the later end of his career. So why wouldn't he have one good heel turn in AEW? And who better to do it with, honestly, aside from maybe Christian Cage, but I don't think he could do that with the Christian Cage character.
Not only that, I mean, Christian kind of MIA, like we talked about, again, close catch up since the losing of the TNT championship last month. So,
but now I have some questions.
And the entire patriarchy as well has been noticeably added.
All disappeared, but I do also kind of, my brain is somewhat stirring with some events that happened much later in the show. So why do we keep disappearing? I'll bring this back later. So,
the audio listeners, we apologize, by the way, and apparently
I also apologize to the audio listeners. I just knocked something over and it hit something metal and it was probably loud. I'm so sorry.
Very interesting developments with the mist being sprayed in the eyes of Adam Copeland. What that leads to going forward, we're gonna have to see. That match going 17 minutes and 45 seconds as we move on to the next matchup. House rules for the AEW TBS Championship: Willa Nightingale versus Julia Hart. The shortest match on the show for the TBS Championship. The stipulation actually as well that Willow picked was Sky Blue and Chris Statlander were both banned from ringside.
Yeah. So
very short and to the point. As I just
I was going to say, spoiler alert, she did it on her own, as we now have a new TBS Championship champion.
Nice save. And just when she's getting her moment, although there was a nice little tease of Statlander and Stokely kitty cornering from each other in the ring with Willow in the middle, and it was very similar to the best friend's turn where they were teasing the hug. And people were like, are we going to see Statlander turn on Willow? It's been heavily rumored.
Well, because Statlander is one of the only people who's had a real proper interaction with Trent since his turn. And he whispered something to Stat, and we still haven't really gotten... There's been rumors of what has been said, mm-hmm. but we haven't really gotten a proper answer. So I wonder if potentially that could be a similar turn coming.
It's quite possible. Tom, you can catch Collision Catch-Up every single Sunday, whether it's morning, potentially afternoon, depending on our recording schedule sometimes, on the SME radio.
Anywhere you get your podcast.
Yeah, your favorite podcast platform, whether it's Spotify, Apple Podcasts, any of that. You search on Sunday night's Main Event SME Radio, and you can find us very quickly. So very much appreciate you giving us a chance to plug that really quickly. But yes, a very quick matchup. Willow, your new TBS champion. A subliminal tease of a turn from Statlander. And then one Mercedes Moné stealing the moment completely away from Willow Nightingale, coming out and making her mark known and making it known that she wants her championship match at Double or Nothing, the very first match signed for the pay-per-view. So.
Yep. So already something to look forward to for the next pay-per-view. Two matches into the official pay-per-view. So that's great.
We move on to the international championship on the line as we have Roderick Strong taking on Kyle O'Reilly. I'm not incredibly surprised what we got with the finish. I wasn't expecting O'Reilly to win the championship, and it's very unfortunate because I would have loved to seen it. However, just being realistic, it's too soon.
That's the exact phrase I was going
to
use.
As well as, I still think there's a lot of story to tell with what's going on with the Undisputed Kingdom, especially with what happened following the match.
So again, as you pretty much said, in the end, it was Roddy who was victorious. And then following the match, we get the return.
Yeah, I guess you could say return. He has been around for a little while. Of Adam Cole. And coming out, being pushed on the wheelchair. You know, everybody's just thinking business as usual. And Cole making it a point to put his legs down and stand up. He can walk himself to the ring.
That was you, not me. That was a light.
All right. We're just smashing stuff here. Cool. We're live, pal. But yes, Adam Cole making his way to the ring back. Whether this means he's cleared or not, I'm not entirely sure. It's very evident that, you know, he's looking healthy. But walking is very different from wrestling.
Yeah. But walking without a notable limp, walking without support, I think a lot further along, because I haven't heard much about his progress lately outside of, realistically, the only person I've heard mentioned is your brother. And he just keeps being like, oh, he's hurt. He's going to be out for so long. Yeah, I've heard it's bad. He's going to be out for so long. So I wonder if they've been kind of teasing and plugging. Yep, it's bad. It's going to be out for so long. And only for him to show up and actually be like, kidding. Like, we're good.
I did read something online that they did take him off the road to kind of speed up the healing process. Whether that means that he, again, he's good to go, or he's just kind of able to at least walk. We'll have to wait and see on that one. But as he makes his way out and makes his way into the ring, I guess we should be making a note of Wardlow did help Roger Strong retain his championship.
Forgot that part.
As Roger Strong celebrating with Taven and Bennett, and Wardlow's kind of just standing there clapping, doing his thing, Cole makes his way into the ring and looks pissed, staring daggers through Wardlow. As soon as Wardlow tries to turn around and make eye contact with Cole, he kind of just goes and celebrates.
The facade kind of drops when Wardlow's not looking, and it's just sort of a death stare. And then the second Wardlow turns around, he's back to just like snapping into place, which is always a bit of a creepy feeling when someone can do that so easily.
Yeah, so Wardlow's time in the Undisputed Kingdom clearly coming up very, very soon as we move on to our next match of the evening, as I unlock my phone here. That going as well, I should say. 17 minutes and 20 seconds as we move on to... Oof. This was a match. It was on this show. And the fans sure as hell did not like it. 16 minutes and 35 seconds, FTW championship match between Chris Jericho and Hook.
So it's not obvious this was the match that I was hinting maybe didn't belong on the main show. But
it's crazy because Jericho is a guy who, I mean, the first AEW world champion in history, a guy who has reinvented himself more times than I can count on my hands at this point. To hear the crowd unite in chants of please retire, go home, Jericho.
Fozzy sucks.
that was ruthless.
Just nobody was happy.
And it wasn't even like, honestly, it was that bad of a match. We've talked about how we hate the feud. I get it.
The feud sucks.
The match itself,
it doesn't do anything for either of them.
No, it doesn't. But the match itself, telling Jericho to retire, I think that's a bit of a push.
I think it was a bit of a push, but
they just need to get away from each other.
But I will say, I don't know if it was already happening before the chance or if he was more distracted from the chance, but he did sandbag a lot. Like,
yeah,
he,
no, that's a good point.
There was a few moments where I hate to use this as a reference, but like his age was showing. He was looking not so good. He could not keep up with Hook.
I don't know. Like, they were catching up with him and he couldn't get his snap for the suplexes quick enough. I'm not entirely sure, but yeah, there was definitely quite a few instances where you could clearly see the struggle from Hook to get Jericho up. With that said, getting to the finish of the match, there's been a lot of rumors on social media lately regarding the future of Hook. And I think kind of playing into those rumors a little bit tonight, as we have a new FTW champion.
Which clearly the crowd just loved after telling him to retire. But Chris Jericho.
Yeah.
The new FTW champion.
Very, very rumored that Hook may be on his way out.
I don't blame him. Because here's the thing is we've talked about Hook quite a bit on Collision Catch-Up because
he's a mainstay on the show.
Yeah, he's a regular, but like he's hit a bit of a plateau where he was brought in as this prodigy style superstar. He's gonna be big.
Let's be real. At first it was almost viewed as a nepotism hire.
It was. And so they really
tried to get away from that.
But well, at first they piled onto it though, because it was just like before he was even wrestling, it was such a big like, but he's gonna be big. And I'll say it's not even to his fault. He really, especially now being in this freaking never-ending storyline with Jericho, he hasn't gotten a chance to actually show what he's capable of. And I think that became even more evident tonight when he's trying. He's very evidently trying, and unfortunately
the crowd is shitting all over the match.
Yeah. So I would not blame him. I would like to hope that he maybe was
sometimes
to get something better.
Sometimes with certain creative, you don't mesh well with what they have in mind for you. Mm-hmm. Hell, look at Cody Rhodes in AEW compared to Cody Rhodes in WWE. Look at Jay Cargill in AEW compared to Jay Cargill in WWE. But you can even flip the script.
I was going to say,
look at Swerve Strickland in WWE compared to Swerve Strickland in AEW.
Same with Tony Storm. I've seen that comparison thrown out a lot. Sometimes it's just not the right fit.
Yep.
And I think it made total sense for Hook to come to AEW again, as realistically he is Taz's son. It is at the end of the day, it was a nepotism hire. But he's made enough of a name for himself now that maybe he could do better at another company.
With that said, what is the future of the FTW championship? Is this something that before Hook makes his way out, does he win it and essentially retire it? And that kind of just solidifies it and we move on. Does Jericho do something with Taz and Taz brings in a new guy to go after Jericho? Like, where do we see the FTW championship? Does the FTW championship just get killed?
So I had another brainwave a little while ago, and I don't really like it, okay. But I'm just going to vocalize it. We're talking about one of these stars that's being built who should have a title, and this star does have a history with Jericho.
Are you talking about one Daniel Garcia?
I am. I don't want it. I don't, because he deserves far better than it, but it could also potentially reinvent the title, because unfortunately nothing, it really kind of just went by the wayside with Hook. And I think that is partially booking of who are you going to put him up against, but it could maybe bring the title up.
See, they were trying to do something last year when they did the whole stuff with Jack Perry. And obviously we've seen where that ended up. Speculation at its finest. We'll have to see going forward. Chris Jericho is your new FTW champion. Tom saying in the chat here, Taz needs a final run in WWE, so father and son moving on. Interesting to note.
I could see Taz leaving. He's so well established that I don't know if it's his time. But also, who knows? He might
money
want
talks, brother.
Money talks, and again, there is that kind of father-son thing. Because even when it was teasing that Taz could start being like Hook's mouthpiece, it was like honestly great, because he's good at what.
Back to what William Regal wanting to go back to WWE so he could be with the son and coach at NXT. So
that's very true. That is a very good point.
It's one of those things where it depends where Taz's priorities are at. Obviously where his contract's at, so we'll have to see going forward what happens again with Taz, the FTW championship, and Hook.
Yeah,
but we move on to the next matchup on our card, and I jumped ahead.
I was gonna say I was pretty sure it was our women's match.
Yes.
Our second women's match of the night.
I was going to say.
Because I can't remember what the name of the title is. Is it just the...
It's just the women's...
It is. Okay. I was worried it was another acronym. I got scared. I'm sleepy.
We had Toni Storm with Mariah May and Luther in the corner against Thunder Rosa, or as I like to call her, Lightning Daffodil. Solid match. I did say 60 minutes, 35 seconds for the FTW rules match. This women's match for the World Women's Championship going 15 minutes and 10 seconds as Toni Storm retaining the AEW Women's World Championship.
Just a note, a lot of the back and forth that was happening before this match, we saw Toni Storm removing the face paint of Thunder Rosa in an act of disrespect. And then in turn, we saw Thunder Rosa painting Toni Storm's face in an act of disrespect to bring her out of that black and white. And so notable that both women came in, Thunder Rosa notably not having her face painted, but having makeup instead, which commentary took note of, and Toni Storm having like old school powder white face, which was just a little detail that I appreciated, kind of playing into those most recent and really intense promos that kind of led to this match.
Yeah, just the back and forth between the two, the intensity between the two, and this match, again, going 50 minutes and 10 seconds, and honestly, I think it was the perfect length. I think it was the right decision on who went over as well. You did need to get this match out of the way. Rosa deserved a legitimate rematch for the championship. Yeah. She hadn't really gotten that since returning, so and a pay-per-view match at that as well. So
it was a well-deserved match to happen. I think I agree it was the right decision. As
back and forth, a solid build-up, and honestly, it lived up to what it needed to be. So
as Toni Storm retained her championship, we did see at one point Deonna Purrazzo coming out and try and help Thunder Rosa, because we had
Brian, man.
Yeah, the ringside. Those two brawling into the back. So could be a little bit of future tension between either those two, or in reality, Thunder Rosa made it very clear she didn't want Deonna Purrazzo's help, so it could even lead into more of a storyline between Deonna Purrazzo and Thunder Rosa now that this Toni Storm feud has kind of been put to bed properly.
We've got one women's match confirmed for Double or Nothing with Willow Nightingale and Mercedes Moné going down for the TBS Championship. Now I gotta wonder, who is going to be Toni Storm's opponent? Will we see somebody step up that's on the roster right now? Do we see Julia Hart kind of move on to the Women's World Championship? Do we see a returning Britt Baker, a returning Jamie Hayter, another debut on the roster? It's one of those things where we'll have to wait and see who is next in line for that Toni Storm shot. But right now, timeless is the way to go.
I'm quite happy about that. Now,
I gotta find them for this one, because 32 minutes, 40 seconds of our lives were captivated by this incredible, incredible match. Dream match. Absolute dream match, according to Mr. Justin Roberts. Between the Aerial Assassin, Will Ospreay, the American Dragon, Brian Danielson.
Before this match even happened, it was already being billed as potential for match of the year. And honestly, it was insane.
Before the match even got going, the crowd was just absolutely bonkers. Like, even Brian was just laughing at like how insanely hyped the crowd was to see this match go down. I was just sitting there on the edge of my seat on my couch. I can let alone being there live in the building to see this go down. We felt a very similar feeling back at Forbidden Door last year, getting a chance to see Kenny Omega and Will Ospreay do their thing. So very similar vibes here tonight, getting a chance to watch Brian Danielson and Will Ospreay.
I've honestly, I have to say, I'm blanking hard right now on who he faced at the last pay-per-view, but I have kind of gotten Yes, thank you. I have gotten that feeling so far every time I have seen Will Ospreay wrestle in an AEW pay-per-view, and I hope that that continues, because it's just, he is just so captivating to watch, and especially when he's going up against someone like Brian Danielson, who, one of the greatest of all time, just, again, just so unpredictable. Like, their sequences are so quickly paced and so unexpected, even if it's
you say that, but Brian was just kind of taking his time. They were kind of chaining around a little bit.
Oh, I agree. And the build was great. I'm talking like in the last, like, I'd say 5 to 10 minutes, when it's just like, yeah, bam, 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 bam. Like,
yeah,
we like don't even know what to expect. I don't know how many times our jaws were just dropped and we're just looking between TV and each other like, did you see that?
So the hidden blade into Osprey going for the os cutter into the psycho knee into the side of the jaw, just like, oh my god. The finishing sequence with the tiger driver into the hidden blade, like, absolute insanity. If there's anything you seek out from this pay-per-view, go out of your way to check this match out. People are going to be talking about this match at the end of the year. I 1000% guarantee.
Yep.
In
the end, Will Ospreay, yep, still undefeated, if I'm not mistaken, is what they said, is that at this moment he has not been defeated in AEW television or AEW product, I suppose. So, also interesting twist. Not twist. I don't know. It's still kind of on that fence of whether it was legitimate or not. As Daniel Bryan, or wow, I did what you did this morning, Bryan Danielson. That's a confusing one, to be fair. Bryan Danielson taking a knee to the head or something along those lines, and then having that moment of Ospreay has his back turned, celebrating, knowing he's about to finish the match. Referee. Oh, no,
it was the hidden blade.
Oh, the hidden blade. I don't know names and moves very well. I'm sorry. You know, as referee trying to call in, saying, like, I think we need a doctor to check him out. Will Ospreay turns back around, hits him one more time. 1, 2, 3. Kind of puts a damper on Ospreay's celebration when he realizes there's like 4 medics in the ring. And Bryan Danielson has yet to really like move.
Yeah, you can even see like Callis is really back and forth on how he's reacting to the whole situation too. He's usually somebody who's just like, you know,
do what you gotta do.
Yeah, but you can even see the concern on him, his base. I've seen some mixed reports, whether it's Danielson has his shoulder popped out. He's just incredibly good at selling, because we've seen him fake a seizure before, selling.
So. But you know what's wild is, was that Forbidden Door?
Yeah, I think it might have been.
And that was the time when he did that, because I remember looking at you and being like, I don't think I like that. And it turned out he didn't have a seizure. He broke his freaking arm, and he was just wrestling the whole time, and he had to just BS his way to kind of cover up. And so that's why I'm like, I think it's a work. I think personally that he is okay, but I also say that hopefully, but genuinely only because, like you said, just we've seen him
like the
sounds,
him just constantly saying fuck over and over again. If that was selling, holy shit, Bryan Danielson is
fantastic selling. I personally think that it was more of a work. I am also, again, like I said, I'm really hopeful.
Fingers crossed.
Because if it was, again, bravo. It was really good. And if it's not, I'm sorry.
Wouldn't be the first time Bryan Danielson's worked us.
Like, oh, and that's, and I think that's the other thing, like, of why I feel this way.
Masterpiece he is. But, yeah, holy crap. 32 minutes and 40 seconds of an absolute classic of a match. Go out of your way to check it out if you haven't already, as we move on to the tournament final for the vacant AEW World Tag Team Championships. Not just any sort of match, a ladder match between FTR, Cash Wheeler, Dax Harwood versus Matt and Matthew.
I was going to say, use their passport names. Their God-given names.
Christ. The Young Bucks.
They came out flying. They, like, there was no, with the Bucks and FTR, there's no slow start. There's no pacing.
I'm just gonna say this. Dax Harwood, that man's head a few minutes into the match was just
gosh. Like, that, there was blood everywhere.
That ring mat by, I don't know, 10, 15 minutes into the match. How long did this match go? Okay, 21 minutes, 35 seconds. So we're talking 10 minutes into the match.
Probably not even like 5 minutes into the match. Like I said, they came out swinging. There was really no slow build to anything. they just went straight for it. And it showed as he was immediately busted open. And
some nasty bumps, man.
Nasty. There was times where I believe it was, yeah, Cash on a ladder on the outside being held up by Matthew Jackson while Nicholas Jackson jumps on him from the ring apron. I can't remember what move he did onto him, but just gross. They had at one point, I believe it was Matthew Jackson pinning him between the sides of the ladder while Nick freaking stomped or pounded. I don't even know. It was gross. It was a lot.
Nick did a 450 to the outside to, I believe it was Dax, as well as Cash hitting a pile driver.
Oh yeah, then there were tables. I didn't even got
pile driver through the ladder. Oh, sorry, no, it was Dax that hit the pile driver through the ladder. That was, oh man, the ladder gave way before they even like connected, and oh my goodness,
it was
just
nasty, and it was just, and again, some of those later spots that started even happening with the tables were absolutely insane.
There was a spear spot at one point. There was a suicide dive through the table.
I can't remember who went through the table, but more so went over the table, and I swear their head just careened into the barricade.
Oh, it was
was it Matt? Oh, it was Dax.
Yeah, because he I can't remember what exactly he took, but he ended up smashing his knee off the chair.
Oh no, that's a different one I was thinking of. Well, I'm talking the one where like literally like ass hits table, they keep flying. The table did break, but more than anything, everyone was like, oh my God, his head, because it went straight into the barricade.
Yeah, okay. Yep.
That's what I mean. There was just so many spots like that. That was just like a constant, like we literally were just making noise. It was a train wreck, but it was a well done train wreck. Like it was a good match.
Yeah, you can't look away.
No. And we didn't.
Shut up, Wheezy in the back.
Yeah, sorry. Our cat just is half awake, half asleep, snoring right now.
So, with that said, moving on to the finish of the matchup, I off the top of my head, can't remember who it was on the top of the ladder, but cracks one of the members of the Young Bucks off the ladder.
I think it was Dax.
I believe it was Dax as well, about to capture those championships, and all of a sudden our fan rushes the ring in a Sting mask, pushes...
No. Devil mask.
No, it was a Sting mask. Yeah, it was a Sting mask.
It was a devil mask.
Guys, I want you to remember this. A Sting mask that a fan got captured in, and it was revealed as one Jack Perry.
I'm sorry, I really need to be right now.
Jack Perry returning, costing FTR the championships as Nicholas Jackson climbing up the ladder and capturing. They said only one championship needed to be grabbed, but both championships were. And we have new AEW World Tag Team Champions, three-time Tag Team Champions for the first time in company history, Matthew Nicholas Jackson, as Jack Perry making his way or being escorted out of the building and throwing up the E, symboling that he will be pretty much joining the Elite very soon. So I'm sorry, what mask was he wearing?
Shut up.
Another fun time we can't edit out. But yeah, the Bucks are your tag team champions. Jack Perry symboling that he's joining the Elite. Guys, you just need to listen to Catch Up, because we pretty much theorized these things.
I was gonna say, we kind of saw this coming. Like as soon as you heard the crowd, everybody did. Yeah. But as soon as you heard the crowd cheer, you were like, "And here he comes!" there was no hesitation. It was just like, "And yep, yeah, he's back." And this is where it comes back around to Christian Cage and possibly having somebody. That's somebody I know near the end. They weren't really doing their thing, but that is someone he's had a former.
He did make it very, very clear that he's aligned with the Elite. So we'll have to see what that leads to going forward. The new Elite of Jack Perry, Okada, and the Bucks.
That's wild. Because Kenny Omega officially has been fired from the Elite.
And
Hangman Page I don't know what happened, but he's...
I'm pretty sure he got the boot as well.
He's more or less... I think his was less significant, but he's not in there anymore.
No cowboy shit in the elite.
No cowboy shit.
But yes, I don't know.
That's about where we're at with that.
I'm going to let it play out.
I was going to say, we'll see what happens. That's kind of our opinion. Our cat might start sneezing in a minute. Sorry.
Yeah, we apologize. As we move on to the main events of the evening, as we had Samoa Joe defending the AEW World Championship against Swerve Strickland, 18 minutes on the dot.
Fantastic. I'm just going to start right away. Fantastic entrance. A very meaningful entrance from Swerve Strickland in, first off, Black Panther tribute gear.
Yep, as well as getting the ring jacket of Jamie Rave put on him as well, which was a cool moment. Nana draping it over him, essentially the passing of the torch to Swerve Strickland as the next guy. So, and very evident as well as... we're taking it away. New AEW World Champion Swerve Strickland. Swerve Stomp for the finish as he did it. He has made history. It was what an emotional and cool moment for him as well.
It was beautiful. Like, you could see the emotion on his face in the last, I'd say, 2-3 minutes of the match. Like, you could, again, this wasn't exactly a shocking win. We're disappearing again. This wasn't a particular shocking win. I think a lot of people knew this was his time. It was time, absolutely. But
if there was a time to pull the trigger, it was very similar to how we felt when Hangman Page won the title of Full Gear. It was very similar to when MJF won the title of Full Gear as well, ironically. You just kind of knew.
Mm-hmm.
And tonight you knew that if they didn't pull the trigger on Swerve, honestly,
it wasn't going to happen.
No,
if they didn't. But incredibly happy for Swerve Strickland, genuinely history maker.
We talk about how guys, we talked about it just a little bit ago, how guys sometimes just don't work out in certain companies. And Swerve went from being, oh, apologize. Sorry.
There's the sneezing fit that we were waiting for.
Yeah.
This is clearly the place that he needs to be.
Yes, he went from being a guy, just another guy in a stable, to the guy in a company. Yes, he is in a stable, but he's also the world champion of a promotion right now. So
the first African-American world champion of AEW.
Yep.
In their history.
Yep. So literally going down in the record books.
Long-term booking is exactly right. This is just an example of, like, I think it was the last pay-per-view, there was the conversation of, is it happening? And I remember, I don't know if you felt the same I did. I was just like, not this time.
Yep.
Not this time.
Yep.
It had to be that main event moment. And I had said it too.
They did get that main event, but it was the triple threat. It wasn't the one-on-one big fight feel. You felt something was kind of off with Hangman being in the picture. And now, again, Swerve getting that official one-on-one to show that he's the guy. And he did. He showed tonight that he has that crowd in the palm of his hand. Between him and Nana, man, they've got a connection with that crowd that very few professional wrestlers have in the world right now. So,
well, even Renee Beckett in the pre-show stating multiple times, if every like 10 minutes, the crowd would just start a Who's House chant. Like, it was, and she had to make note of it and smile, because it's just like, it's so clear that everyone wanted this.
Yeah,
truly.
Going forward, it's going to be very interesting to see what happens with Swerve Strickland, where his first feud goes, his first defense goes. I'm very intrigued to see the title reign that we get from Swerve Strickland, but a hell of a way to kick it off, a clean victory over Samoa Joe, a guy who took over AEW. It's got to be tip of the cap to AEW, or to Samoa Joe, because he took over for MJF, who, that man was just being held together by tape at one point.
Yeah.
And he took over and he had a solid run with that championship. He didn't have a long run with the championship, but he didn't.
He didn't need it. He's done his long runs. He's done his proving himself. We know Samoa Joe is a beast, and he always will be. And it's time to see the next generation of
and
that.
That's exactly what Samoa Joe did tonight. Is he elevated the next generation? He was not selfish in doing that as well. He went out on top, and now Swerve Strickland's that guy. And I'm very much looking forward to the future of AEW. I think there's a lot of questions on some of the things that AEW does sometimes, but tonight they made the right call on quite a few things. And Swerve Strickland, no question about it, should be the world champion right now. So,
yeah.
Again, tip of the cap to Samoa Joe, but a tip of the cap as well to AEW for pulling the trigger at the right time on the right guy. So,
mm-hmm. No, excellent way to end genuinely a really great pay-per-view.
Yes.
I have to say, this is probably one of the happiest feelings I've had walking away from a pay-per-view recently. I genuinely don't feel any disappointments. Sour. Nope. I don't have any sour taste in my mouth. Again, there's a few things where I'm just like, let's see where this leads, but nothing like
the Jericho Hook stuff. We'll have to see where that goes.
I'm not even really counting that. I was honestly meaning Jack Perry personally.
I was going to say the Bucks Jack Perry stuff. We'll see where that goes. AEW's got a couple of solid champions on their hands right now. They got the future professional wrestling and guys like Daniel Garcia. So we're going to have to, and guys like the current world champion, Swerve Strickland. So, hell of a pay-per-view from AEW. We'll have to see what they capitalize on. Shout out to Bam Bam Gang in the background.
I was kind of wondering why it got so dark. I'm like, this video is longer than that. I was looking at how long we've been live. I have to get up in 5 hours. So I was like, oh gosh, how late is it?
Yeah, with that said, guys, doesn't look like there's a whole lot going on in the chat. I do know the media scrum is happening. Was not promoted beforehand, so I thought we were going to...
He was really stoked that he was just like, there's no media scrum. Yeah. We'll jump in.
Yeah. I thought we had him.
That's okay. We're still here. We're still here for the rewatch as well.
As well, yes. Check out the replay if you're listening to this right now. Thank you very much. Check out SME Radio on all your podcast platforms, whether it's our show, Collision Catch Up, whether it's this, listening to the Dynasty Post Show, or it's the main show, it's The Law, it's pro wrestling, pop culture, music, mixed martial arts, everything that's covered here on this very network. There's a ton covered and there's a shit ton of shows. So go show some love to every single show on this network because everybody works hard and we're all great. Well, a little family here. So SundayNightsMainEvent.com. You can check out the website. You can check out SME Radio and all forms of social media. I am at Matthew Grant. First Day is a forward all forms of social media. If you want to keep up with what I'm doing in the world of independent professional wrestling, that's the way to do so. I'm surprised my shoulders held up for this, to be honest with you.
I'm in a lot of pain right now. We're both injured right now. Same right shoulder.
If you haven't listened to Collision Catch-Up, today I took a German suplex through a door last night, so yeah, I'm pretty banged up. So.
I fell out of a handstand, so mine's not as exciting. Mine doesn't fit in the wrestling world.
First Days of Four, keep up with what I'm doing in the world of independent wrestling because you'll hear crazy, ridiculous stories like this. But guys, thank you very much for joining us. Aaron, take it away with your plugs and wrap us up here.
I thought you were going to cut me off. And you can find me on all forms of social media at Aaron154Grant and see why maybe I was in a handstand, as well as see what I'm getting up to in the world of professional wrestling, because I just kind of like to try things sometimes. As well as, some backstage interviewing, some ring announcing.
A little bit of everything.
All right.
Yeah. For Aaron, I'm Matthew Grant, and we're going to head on out of here for the night, guys. Again, thank you very much for checking out SME Radio, and we'll catch you next time. See you next Sunday morning on Collision Catch-Up. Have a great night, guys.